I'm Matterall from Talking in Stations. The election results are in for CSM 13. The Council of Stellar Management, CSM for short, have concluded with a live stream broadcast of the winners. Voting tallies were released a day later. This is the 13th time in 10 years that players of EVE Online have elected a select group of representatives to be their voice at the table with CCP, the makers of EVE Online, when they plan new features for the game. 30,000 votes were cast for 48 candidates. 10 of those candidates now become full CSM members. 7 of the 10 were incumbent CSM members from the year before, and of the new 3, all were from NullSec alliances. Large NullSec alliances now have 8 out of 10 seats on the CSM. Half of those are from a single alliance, Goonswarm. Goonswarm is by far the largest alliance in EVE when measured by player count. They have over 30,000 characters. That is more than second and third place combined, Pandemic Horde and Test Alliance, respectively. Of the 10 CSM, all but one consider themselves player versus player combatants. Absent from the CSM were players that specialized in specific playstyles, like faction war, wormholes, exploration, small-scale production, mining, small corporation management, solo or casual playing. The worry for some players is that representation is not balanced. Those with specific playstyles will either take a backseat or be satisfied with proxy representation from NullSec delegates. On this episode of Conversations, we'll talk to the winners and losers of CSM. First, we'll hear from Commander Aze, who has unsuccessfully campaigned for a seat at the table for 5 years. We'll also hear from new CSM member Killa Bee, along with Lady Scarlet, a veteran EVE diplomat that put Killa Bee at the top of several alliance ballots. All right, Commander Aze, you've just lost your fourth try for CSM. Is that right?
Fifth, actually.
Did you say your fifth?
Yes. Five in a row.
So you've lost 5. That's more than anybody else. Why do you keep trying?
So the hidden secret behind it all is that I actually enjoy the process. I like talking to people about EVE, I like forcing people's opinions out, and I enjoy the politics of it. So it's always fun to talk about something that we love to do. So,
but I want to get to asking if it's important that you get on CSM. I imagine you wouldn't be doing it if you didn't think it's important that you be there.
So I've always thought that I'd have something to give the CSM, but at the same time, looking at the names of the candidates that made it this year, I've got nothing wrong with that list of names. They're all solid people, they're good individuals, they're all going to be positive contributions to the process. That's
a lot of them.
That's
were
a pretty
incumbents.
High ask of a group.
Yeah. It's also notable that there were a lot of incumbents that got reelected, and there are a lot of people from block votes, like people that are basically told to vote this ballot, and they vote it, and that looks like that was at least 7 out of 10 seats that were taken that way. Does that bother you?
It's the benefit of coordination. You know, if you're in a block, you're going to get on a ballot if you're, you know, worth your salt, and if you have enough people that you can coordinate and other people fail to coordinate, then it is what it is. Having run off the HiSec ballot, I can tell you that it's a lot easier when you have a massive group of people to coordinate voting them all in the same direction than it is to get a group, you know, like the fractured HiSec or LowSec, or as we noticed this year with the election results, no wormhole candidate. You know, if
well,
you don't coordinate that
you don't
vote,
have wormholes.
It's not gonna happen.
You don't have wormholes. You don't have faction war players. You don't have HiSec. You don't have industry. And we're just looking at archetypes here, but you don't have any players that specialize in that kind of gameplay. What you have are PvPers and big Empire NullSec players as the majority, with one exception of maybe.
Yeah. I mean, technically you have Steve, although I don't know. I have nothing against Steve when I say this, but I don't know at what point CCP should just hire him just as sits, a consultant for the API. And
he sits there, and I know that he gets good reviews by other CSM members. So maybe he's like the professional voice of a player that doesn't fit into any of the archetypes.
Yeah.
You think he should be gone?
Steve, by and large, plays by himself, but is very, very active with the community. So I think he kind of takes a different approach to building a corp, as he's kind of built the community around him instead of building a corp in-game, at least, you know, multitude of players-wise. So, you know, he brings a great perspective. You know, I do think that at some point in time we might want to talk about term limits. Just because, you know, there is kind of this shadow state of Eve where I'm sure that developers still talk with CSMs in the past that are still under NDA. You know, it could open it up for some new ideas, new perspectives. But again, I'm not upset by the result. So,
all right. So you're not upset. You like the people that actually got on. You do think it's important for you to be on there. I didn't get a clear answer on that.
Yes.
Okay. And I won't ask you why, because that can be something for a campaign and stuff like that. But and do you have any concerns about the quality of representation that, even though they're all good players, that they could provide?
With this CSM, I don't have that concern. Having been somebody who's watched the last five CSM very, very closely, I can tell you that there have been members that, and I'm sure, you know, in back rooms have been discussed, that have not contributed the same level as others. And the, you know, the public has noted that. This CSM, I don't see that happening. I see this CSM as much more open. You know, it's a lot of people that are very community focused, and not just with the groups that they're in. You know, like I think Brisk is going to do a fantastic job, having the background that he has, and you know the public show that he has to be able to get groups together for a town hall. You know, and he's gonna piggyback off of Jintan's success in that department, and help multiply that effort. So there's a lot of positives that can come out of this.
Well, what do you think of the people who are actually upset that so many gameplay styles are left out of direct representation with an advocate candidate?
So first and foremost, as people said for the last, you know, week before the or during the election, go vote. You know, it's a well-known fact that if everybody in HiSec voted, we wouldn't have a single NullSec candidate. You know, but people in HiSec don't vote. People in LowSec generally don't vote as often. Otherwise, we'd see a LowSec candidate. And people in Wormholes, unfortunately, voted for multiple candidates. And that's what the data is going to show tomorrow, is that there was a split vote where there were a couple of popular candidates from a couple of different parties, and neither had enough to stay on long enough and gain the trickle necessary to get on.
Now, what do we know about international representation? We have English, German, Australian, or English living in Australia, American. You think that it's covered well?
I think it's pretty wide variety. Personally, I'd like to see somebody with the influx of players from Serenity. I'd like to see somebody with a Chinese background, or, you know, somebody that can better communicate with that subsect of the group. I wish I could say it was me, but, you know, it's not.
I forget. Do you know Chinese?
No. I do think that that is an area that is going to be a growing concern moving forward. And it is a group that I think needs their voices heard, and they're in a large enough quantity that they should be heard. You know, just as, you know, I don't want to leave out any of the other languages here, but Spanish, there's a huge Spanish community. And I personally have run into the French community several times while I was in HISEC. You know, there's a lot of underserved populations out there that, you know, I don't know everything about the current CSM, but that could be a aspect of something that they might want to look at.
Well, what about the larger picture of just not necessarily play styles, but of the game itself? It seems to be going in this direction of, hey, the game needs to be fun. Otherwise, it's not a good game. I've heard that before, too. And I think EVE has not been fun for a very long time, and people still are totally loyal to it.
It depends on what you're doing. You know, I find fun in the peripheries of the game. Yeah, you can go out, you can have fun killing people. You know, you can be in the Alliance tournament, get your blood pressure up. You know, you can do all sorts of crazy things. But, you know, like for me, one of the most fun things that I do is talking to other people about EVE or just kind of managing my corp. I don't even have to be in game to do that. So, you know,
right. And so
I talk about on my campaign as well, like, you know, I do think that removal of or adjustment of a lot of these friction mechanics needs to be something that the CSM pushes in order to make the game more appealing to newer players, so that we can keep them around long term.
So you have no worries that the emphasis on balancing ships so that FCs can keep their content changing, as opposed to working on the market where people can build financial empires? Like, you don't see that this discrepancy of representation for that kind of stuff an issue? Not that CSM will dictate the path of development of the game, but certainly CSM has some influence on pressuring CCP on what needs attention.
Yeah, and I think the CSM has got a decent amount of people that are going to push for balance changes and to adjust the meta. I don't know, you know, how quickly that's going to go. And we really don't know much about what the process moving forward is going to look like. You know, especially with Seagull leaving and, you know, a question mark on that executive producer position.
If there is an executive producer.
That leaves a lot there. Yeah.
They may go without.
And with Hilmar back at the helm, you know, playing EVE, you know, he might have different views of the direction that we're going to go with the next few years.
You know, well, I think that's why this is a very important CSM. I imagine a lot of the people who ran for it thought this is going to be an important time because it's the end of a 5-year plan. And so what's the next plan? Where is the direction of the game go after this? And shouldn't we influence that? Now you're going to be on the outside looking in to that room that has CSM candidates. Does it concern you about the overall composition of the people that got elected?
Not particularly. So one of the reasons that I keep running is it keeps me involved with the people that are on the CSM. You know, keeps me talking to them, keeps me as part of that discussion. Whether I'm on or not, there's still people that I'm going to talk to. You know, like prior to this election, I honestly didn't know who Brisk was, but he and I have been on, oh God, it's got to be 5 or 6 different talk shows at this point. And, you know, I like hanging out with him. I think he's a great guy. I think, you know, the conversation's going to continue beyond the campaigns.
So even if you're not in the room, you certainly have the ear of people who are in the room, or you have them to talk over issues and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, your campaign is something you've been doing. You're a calm, soft-spoken guy. You don't do things that are bombastic to get yourself attention. You don't have major Reddit karma that I'm aware of. You don't post in the EVE forums very much that I know about. You're someone who doesn't have many avenues by which to make themselves popular enough to have that name recognition that seems to be working, because all the people that were elected have name recognition.
Yeah.
What What must that feel like, not to be able to claw your way to some kind of a goal?
I'd love to say that it's easy, but you know, it is a moving target every year with varying degrees of potential for success. I've had the opportunity to start serious shit, and I've actively avoided it. There was a somewhat tense moment between me and the judge this year that instead of making it into a public display of craziness, brought it to closed doors and talked it over and resolved it, because that's not the person that I am. If I'm going to get on, I'm going to get on based on merit, based on thoughts. I'm not going to get on for any other reason. Eventually, I've kind of been running with the meme of, I'm the CSM candidate that you've probably heard of. You just don't know from where. So
why is it you can't string enough votes together? What is it about the fabric of the people who believe in you that just doesn't come together to put you over the top?
That is a good question. It really boils down to being higher up on people's tickets. I didn't do enough coordination in order to get higher on the Imperium ticket. I didn't do enough coordination in order to get on other tickets, and that's something that I need to push for more next year. It is what it is. I've learned every year something that I didn't know the year before. I've pushed new ideas. I've pushed more creative campaigning styles. I'm probably one of the candidates with the longest campaign post, because I have every single media event in a 5-year history of running for CSM posted to my campaign. Because I don't want to hide anything from people. I want them to know exactly what they're getting. Unfortunately, that's, just short of getting elected. Tomorrow we'll find out exactly how short. But I think it's going to be an interesting number.
So what'll it tell you?
Higher than the year before.
Yeah. What'll it tell you if you were about the same as last year, or a little bit lower or higher?
So optimistically, so last year I ran as pure high sec, was running from a platform of Toxic Rodan and I, triple party candidacy. All of us were pushing for the three of us to be on everybody's ballot, kind of amplifying the opportunity. A lot of that, having moved to Delve, I wasn't anticipating a decent amount of that following to follow through this year. But I have more and more people every year pushing for my campaign, and
well, what is it that's making them change their mind about you? Because if they've started to read about you, they've read about you 5 times now, like, what would possibly make them change their mind about what they already know? Is it that you're evolving? Is it the circumstances that are evolving? Is there a new reason to vote for you when they didn't vote for you in the past?
I think every year I give them a new reason. This year, I kind of dived into a little bit more of what my work life looks like, and what kind of professional avenues I can bring to accelerate things in the CSM.
So that was something you hid in the earlier campaigns?
Yeah, it's not something I talked about in the early campaigns. Mm-hmm. It was.
And for those who don't know, you have a pretty prestigious background. You work in government. You work for emergency. Federal Emergency Management, was it?
Yep.
FEMA.
Yep. I work for FEMA. Yeah. I work as a intergovernmental liaison, so I deal with I deal with agencies that are having problems with each other. You know, potentially to the dispute of hundreds of billions of dollars problems.
And so this is stuff you didn't bring up, but now you're bringing it up, at least in this last campaign.
Yes. You know, I felt, in part, I think it adds a lot to my campaign for people to understand why I keep running and why I have this drive to, there is a no-lose situation here. You know, I might not have made it this year. I might make it next year. I might make it the year after, but I'm going to keep trying. Like, that's the person that I am. You know, I'm the type of person that has, in my past, you know, I have a prestigious position now. I have a lot going for me. I've got, you know, all sorts of accolades to my name. But I've been beat. I've been, you know, hit. I've been pushed down, you know. And I'm the type of person that eventually I will keep trying until I persevere. And it's highly likely that I will continue past that, and we'll be talking about term limits again from the other perspective once that happens.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Commander Ace. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And now here is Killaby with Lady Scarlet. Both are from Northern Coalition.
All right. I wanted to talk about this last election, and really, the groundswell of support that comes with Killaby is not attributed necessarily to what you did, Lady Scarlet, but you did put him on the ticket for NC and RMT, which is the Renter Alliance for NC, and BOT too, probably. Where did you put him?
Yep. On BOT and RMT, and then, you know, talk to allies and friends.
Mm-hmm. How inclined do you think they are to do a favor for you? And vote for the guys that you want.
I mean, I guess that, you know, that asking that question could be asked to anybody. I mean, if people like who you're supporting or believe in what you're supporting, they will support you. But if they don't, they have free will to do what they want.
Right. Let me ask you a different way. How long have you known these people that you've talked to say, hey, put these people on your list if you can?
For the most part, most of them I've talked to I've known for a while.
A while would be?
Some of them almost 15 years, and some of them less than 3.
Killaby, this is your first CSM. You were an FC, a block FC. That's kind of the highest level FC you can be when you're running fleets at the top for many, many people, hundreds of people, maybe thousands, and you're talking about a coalition of alliances, not just an alliance or a corporation. So you're well known for that. You also started streaming, but really, you're known for your FCing. Do you think you had cross appeal to other people that like FCs?
Yeah, the reason I didn't really campaign much in terms of, you know, I didn't go to any podcast shows, whatever. I didn't really do any weird like stunts or whatever, is because I wanted to be voted by the people that know me for what I can do, which is my FCing talents, and that see the value in that being added to the CSM, especially considering that, you know, last year the only real FC in the CSM was Sword, and maybe Jintan if you want to count him. And that's like, that's something that CSM, in my opinion, has always been lacking. And today, especially today after the results were announced, after everybody knew I was in, that really got confirmed to me, because I've had a lot of people tell me that they voted for me, even though they're in goons or they're, you know, I wasn't on their ballot. I had Noopman tell me he voted for me and shit like that, because those people are the ones that know me and that know that I can be a very, very valuable addition to the CSM. And those are the kind of people I was banking on. I think I'm the direct opposite of Brisk, who was basically running on the, you know, I'm just going to make such a good campaign on every level that the people, like even the people that have nothing to do with EVE politics or whatever, they probably thought, hey, this is that guy that made that super serious campaign video. Sure, I'll put him on my ballot, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of the exact opposite of that. I did zero campaigning.
So when people look at who deserves to be on, they look at you and they see you playing a different game for the last month, like you're taking a break. And they're like, hey, why should he even be on? He's not playing EVE. He's taking a break. And these other guys work so hard to be on CSM. They make all the media appearances and they do all the publicity they're supposed to do. And they're not on. It's not fair.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I wasn't very sure I was going to get in up until, up until today when it was announced, because I knew that a lot of, or at least some people with voices told me that, you know, hey, Killer, I don't mind you as a guy, but I don't want to have another Vince Draken incident where we get you into the CSM and then you just stay AFK and you get kicked off after 2 weeks and that kind of stuff. But again, I banked on the people that know me voting for me, and everybody that actually knows me, or in fact, everybody that knows a bigger, FC in EVE Online, they know that FCs do have to take breaks every once in a while, and that just because somebody hasn't actually played the game for 1, 2, maybe even 3 months, it doesn't mean that they're not coming back, or it doesn't mean that they're not in the loop. And without trying to sound condescending, I think within the last 2 months that I actually haven't played EVE, I was probably still more in touch and more informed about the politics of EVE than most of the average players, and even some higher level players, because I didn't play, I didn't log in. I still spent all my time just, you know, sitting in the train going to work, or while I was waiting at Subway for my food, I just spent that browsing the different Discord servers I'm in and trying to stay as much in the loop as possible.
You're not really gone when you're taking a break. In other words.
I'm never gone from EVE. I haven't been gone from EVE since I started playing in 2009.
Yeah. Lady Scarlet, you helped Vince get on, who is also a veteran player. Before that, you helped Fafer get on. Why did you put them on, and how were they as CSM candidates?
Well, generally, for one, I won't really support anybody that I don't know very well. They have to have some kind of proven ability in what they do and offer some kind of benefit, I think, to the game. I mean, it's easy to speak about Vince because Vince has led coalitions. He's been an FC for God knows how many years. He runs, NC. So it was very easy to put support behind him. Baffer, he's run DRF. Some people may not like that, or drones or whatever, politics. But he is a person that will go beyond, his abilities to do whatever it takes to get something done in his will, and those kind of people are people I think that represent what EVE players are looking for.
Before that, you also championed Gorga, probably, right?
I might have, that's getting a little far back in my memory, but it's possible.
Yeah, I don't remember if you did or didn't, but let me just assume you did. And Gorga was kicked off because he didn't show up or couldn't show up. I don't know if it was willful. Vince, same situation, was removed from CSM because he couldn't show up or didn't show up. I think Fafer did finish his term.
Yes.
But in retrospect, are the guys that know the game really well but are kind of busy, are they like good CSM members? And I'm not saying that quantity of attendance over quality is better. I actually want to know your opinion on...
Well, let's be honest, okay? And I'll use Vince as an example. Vince ran, with the opinion he didn't think he was going to get elected. A lot of people supported him because we believe in what he could do. But he also became a dad during that process. And obviously family, takes precedence over everything, right? So... I don't think timing was particularly probably pretty good for him. But, would I have changed, supporting him? No, because at the time that we voted and we put him in that position basically electing him, we believed that, he would do a good job.
Well, in retrospect, did those guys do a good job? Do you think they did, or do you think it just was something that went off the rails that didn't intend to go off the rails?
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Had Vince not had to go to Iceland and do all the meets, he probably would have, you know, finished off and still could have offered his opinion and did the, you know, side meetings and things that they do through Discord or Mumble or however they do it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, being that that was, you know, a requirement, he couldn't fulfill that position, you know, so.
Now, you're both in Northern Coalition like I am. The other side of the equation is Goon Swarm, and they have like 5 candidates out of the Imperium, I think, total. Is that, do politics really enter into representing the game and the game's development?
Yeah, you go first.
Well, in my opinion, yes, because they do everything they can to get as many people on the ticket as they possibly can, because they want a bigger word than everybody else. Do I believe that's helpful to the CSM and to the game? Not necessarily, because if you don't have good knowledge and representation in the areas that you need to fulfill to do the job, then why are you there?
I think I wish more FCs of Goons were running and would get in. My main issue with all those Goon candidates is that they're all basically paper pushers. I mean, Aerith is the king of the paper pushers, literally. And I mean, he deserves the title, not in a bad way. He's probably one of the smartest market and, you know, that kind of guys that there are in the game. He probably controls T2 market on his own soon and all that kind of stuff. So he's definitely deserved to be in the CSM. He's a very smart eco guy. Merkelchen runs Karma Fleet as far as I know. I'm not sure what a nominate does. Judge is, well, is this going to be like published somewhere? Judge is just a judge. I've heard from many sources that he's actually been a pretty good CSM, and I don't want to debate that. It's just, I personally just don't like the guy as much, but whatever. You know, I think that all the people that got in actually have the good of the game in mind, and therefore I think it's okay to have that many Goons. And as a person that plays all of his time in 0-0, I'm happy that there's this many 0-0 candidates, because we can all sort of push towards the health of the, in my opinion, most important part of EVE Online. But, and that's where the main difference comes in, obviously Goons are going to have a way different way of approaching that health, in their opinion, than maybe Sword and I will have, which is why today I tweeted, it's you and me, brother, tagging Sword on Twitter, because it is going to be me and him, you know, sort of representing 0-0 that isn't Goons. Because while the Goon CSMs are good CSMs, most of them, they do not really talk to anyone outside of Goons. They get all their input. They do the town halls and the stuff they do all of that within Goons, and mostly within Goons only. And it's basically going to be me and Sword representing the rest of 0-0 that is not Goon Swarm Federation.
And if I could just add to that, I mean, you know, earlier I said they push for their own agenda. But I mean, let's be clear. If CSM was divided more, you know, throughout the universe, in different coalitions, not just the majority representing one particular group, people would have more of a say. So in that sense, I think because they have that many candidates, it's bad for the game. Should they have ran? No, I'm not saying they shouldn't have ran, but I do think it needs to be more balanced.
Killer B there started to say, I don't mind that they're Goon Swarm, except that they kind of talk only to themselves, are kind of insular. But you kind of said, I wish there was more, less paper pushers and more FCs, like some of those FCs had run. What's going to happen to all the other parts of the game that aren't represented? Wormholes aren't really represented by a single advocate. You also don't have faction warfare represented by a single advocate. What happens to all that representation? Do you guys think you can cover it?
Oh, I won't. I'm very blunt and honest about that. I'm not going to cover that. But there is CSMs out there that are trying to appeal to as many people as possible and that will represent them. Jintan is one very very prominent example of a CSM that is basically representing, you know, everybody, sort of. And Brisk has said he was going to do the same. So I think you're going to have these CSMs like Brisk, like Cetonia to some degree, like Jintan, who are going to represent all of the rest of EVE just because they're that kind of person who feel like that's a challenge as well. And, well,
does it even break down that way? Am I thinking about it wrong? Is it just players that know the game very well on different levels, not just, you know, the thing that they like to do?
Here's the thing, right? I don't know a lot about LoSAC, you know, politics or whatever. I don't know a lot about the specific faction warfare mechanics. So Tonya probably knows quite a bit about that. And I said that as well during my Horde, for example. I did a Horde town hall, one of the very few things I did actually in terms of campaigning. Mm-hmm. And people asked me all these questions about high sec, new player experience, and all that kind of stuff. I was very honest in my answers. I just told them it's just not my area of expertise. If I were to weigh in, like I'm okay to weigh in on every topic because I can use my general game experience, but I'm not going to push for an idea that's regarding the new player experience necessarily. I'm not going to be pushing for an idea that's regarding low sec or high sec simply because I don't really know what the issues in low sec and in high sec especially. I mean, low sec maybe a little bit, but high sec, I have no idea what the problems in high sec are. I don't talk to high sec players, but I can tell you pretty exactly what the issues in 0-0 are, and then I can look at a change that CCP proposes and I can say, yes, this will actually address some of the issues you have at the moment in 0-0. I can tell them, no, this is a bad idea.
So, Lady Scarlet, last question. What's it like being a kingmaker? You must be 5 for 5 or more.
I don't know how to respond to that. I mean, kind of an awkward question, but you know, I just put my support behind people that I think will do a good job.
Okay, let's put it this way. When you support somebody, you're the one that can bring the machinery to put somebody there. Do you find that people are going to treat you differently, like want to get in good with you if they're thinking of running?
No, because I don't have like this long line of people asking me to support them. I mean, you know, there's people who talk to me and, you know, that tell me that they're running and stuff. And then, you know, we'll go from there. But, you know, I think with anybody in this game, if you have a reputation of, you know, being honest and not messing with people and, you know, backing people and that kind of thing, you know, it's going to work for you. If you have a reputation of screwing people and messing with people, then, you know, people aren't going to, you know, be that supportive.
You can always pay them to vote for you.
Yeah, there's always that.
So I get the sense, though, that you are not in any way, like, even playing with the idea of having electoral power or anything like that. It doesn't even enter your consciousness, it sounds like.
I don't really go into it thinking that I'm going to get a million votes. I just use the tools and resources that I have in hopes that there's a good turnout based on our side, I guess.
Well, thanks for answering these questions. Just wanted a perspective from Lady Scarlet and new CSM member, Killer B. Thank you, guys.
No problem.
Thank you for listening. For more podcasts, subscribe to Talking in Stations or visit talkinginstations.com, your companion to EVE Online.